What's going on, Skytown? Welcome to another edition of the Skyhook Podcast. My name is James Kay, and with me tonight, after an emphatic Chicago Sky victory yesterday in the second round of the playoffs, is Chris Pennant. Chris, how are you feeling today after such a chaotic and exciting game yesterday? I was at the Target Center, and my God, the energy was just insane.
I'm feeling worried, man, is how I'm feeling. I'm feeling like the Sky might make me eat my words and have to run down Stony Island Avenue bucket naked. And I really don't want to do that. So I'm not going to root against our team, but I'm nervous. I'm real nervous.
And for those who are just tuning in for the first time, at the beginning of the season, we had the Sky Show Shy on our podcast, and he said that kind of we were closing out the podcast, and he just said at the end, like, I don't know, if the Sky win the championship or something, I guess I'll have to streak down somewhere in Chicago. And I picked up on that, and I just kind of ran away with that. And then Chris got into trouble two podcasts ago where he said he would do the same thing. So now those two potentially might have to streak if the Sky win a championship. And there was 538 had said that their projection said that there was less than a 1% chance of that happening. Well, the Sky have won their first two playoff series in a win or go home scenario, and now they're moving forward to face the Connecticut Sun tomorrow. But we'll get into that later. We have to talk about this game yesterday though, Chris, because the Sky did upset the Lynx 89-76. They ended the Lynx playoff hopes after they had such an incredible season, and they did it on, and the Sky did that on Minnesota's home floor. Candace Parker surpassed her former teammate Lisa Leslie on the all-time playoff scoring list. Courtney Vandersloot put up her second career 19-5-5 playoff game, and she's the only player in franchise history to do that. Then you have Kalia Copper, Diamond DeShields, Azrae Stevens. They all stepped up as well. Chris, you talked about eating our words. I mean, should we do that with a fork and knife or with a spork? I mean, I don't know about you, but I was just really impressed by what I saw from the Sky yesterday.
It was, man. I mean, I'll admit I had a long weekend of activity, and I was pretty tired watching the replay yesterday. So it was almost difficult for me to pick out exactly where the momentum shifts happened. And I know for anybody who watched the game, it might seem plain. And there were some that were obvious. The Sky took control at times. The Sky really took control in the second quarter. And they were getting baskets early on, but there was a moment where it seemed like Minnesota might pull away. Then there was the Ariel Powers run in the fourth quarter to get it down to a 7-point game. And it was, but on the whole, it was difficult. Honestly, it just felt like a slow march. I think after that first quarter, it felt like a slow march to a Sky victory. It was like a tug of war, and the middle was moving implacably towards the Chicago side. Like, Ariel Powers did everything she possibly could to pull Minnesota even or get them the lead. But the Sky had an answer almost every time. Mm-hmm. Really, the only time that they got in trouble was that run in the fourth quarter, where she just kept hitting baskets. Teammates got, I think Nafisa Collier hit it. When Nafisa Collier hit that three, and she had been quiet most of the game, it seemed like that was the time that Minnesota was going to kind of plant their flag and pull even. And then Allie Quigley on the other end came back with, it was just a bone-crushing shot because it was well-defended, but Allie is a born shooter. Not a born shooter. Shooters aren't born, they're made. She's a textbook shooter with a quick release. And even on a play like that where it's just like catch Allie off a curl, defender's trailing by maybe a step or two. For her to hit that shot, that iced the game. And there was still a good amount of time left. It was almost like I watched the game, tired as I was, and looked up, and it was just like, well, the Sky are up 10. They're going to win this.
I think you're right when you say that the Sky just had an answer for Minnesota every time they started to come back a little bit. In the first quarter, Sylvia Fowles you just couldn't stop her the way that she was able to get anything she wanted in the paint. I looked over at Annie Costable from the Chicago Sun-Times. We were like, okay, they got to do something about this. And they really did. Sylvia Fowles only had 4 points in the second half. And this team was just really able to not let things get away from them. That was the thing that stuck out to us last time, was that this team was able to rein it in when they needed to and not let their opponents just take off. And, you know, the stat that I threw out last podcast was that this team was three and seven in the regular season when they shot 30% or less from 3-point range. After yesterday's win, they already have two such wins in the playoffs. Even if they didn't shoot well from beyond the arc, this still felt like a complete performance from this team, just in the way that they were able to answer. And they got that from like up and down the roster. Like Kalia Copper and Diamond Shields, they didn't do too much in the second half scoring wise, but those two, I think they put up like 25 points collectively in the first half, and they really set the tone energy wise getting up and down the court. Diamond made some great decisions where she was just attacking the rim and she didn't settle for those long twos that have hurt her efficiency in the past. And even Candace Parker, again, the box score isn't going to jump out to you, but the way that she was able to impact the game, the way that in between timeouts, she was really commanding the huddle. You could tell that her presence in a situation like this, this is why they brought her in the offseason, is to step up in moments like this, not just on the court, but off the court. It really was a complete performance from the sky, even though they just didn't shoot well from beyond the arc. But, you know, maybe this is a team that doesn't really need to hit from deep as consistently to win. They really don't seem to care about how they win. They just, again, they're just going to ride the flow of the game. And we've seen that the last two games where they've just able to manage the situation play to play, and it's kind of come out in their favor.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, they were 4-14 in the second half from distance, and one of those was that really needed Allie Quigley three to kind of silence. That was a crowd silencer, and those are important, especially in the playoffs. The momentum of the home crowd can carry a team like a wave, and so for her to hit that three and answer Nafisa Collier's shot was really big. But they shot 4-14 in the second half from three, which is solid. Well, that's not 50%, but it's above 40. Actually, I think it's 36. And the way that Minnesota packed the paint, for the Sky to get the shots up that they got and to still attack the rim the way they did, is you're right. It's a testament to their game plan. They're not trying to blitz the basket from outside at all costs. They're not trying to get the perfect pass to find someone on the arc every time. And there were some plays that went their way. There were definitely some plays that went their way. A couple balls that were tipped that found Sky players, some scrambles that they got to, which is hustle, but it's still some amount of luck. Sometimes where they drove the lane and got caught up and maybe got bailed out on fouls. And it's going to be the cruise that you see throughout the playoffs, but it still means something that they were attacking the basket, not in bailout moments every time. Like they were going to the basket with purpose to either get a shot up or get fouls called. And Minnesota was doubling and collapsing on every drive, pretty much, that Kalia Copper made, that Diamond Shields made, that Candace Parker made. So they definitely made life tough for them, but the Sky were able to get those opportunities. They shot 20 free throws, which is above their season average. It's even above their season average on the road, where they were better this year. So it really shows that middle game part of the contest, that in terms of chess, that middle game, the second and third quarters, where they really cemented their advantage, a lot of that was from the paint and the foul line.
Well, what you just described is that they just showed a lot of energy in ways that they didn't in the second half of the regular season. And outside of that first quarter where, again, Sylvia Fowles was just getting anything that she wanted, the Sky pretty much won all those 50-50 balls the rest of the way. And Azaree Stevens, we have to talk about what she did yesterday. She put up 15 and 8 the way that she was able to battle in the second half, and you know, she pulled down some really crucial offensive rebounds over Sylvia Fowles. She ended up with 11 points in the second half. Again, defensively, there's no such thing as really stopping Sylvia Fowles, but I thought that Azaray did her best in terms of just trying to slow her down in the second half, and they really needed her yesterday. They really did. And a lot of the talk that I've heard on podcasts, I should only say in like two podcasts that I listened to today about this game, they didn't really mention Azaray Stevens. A lot of the talk was about Diamond DeShields. I really don't think this guy. Yeah, I do think that I really do think that this guy might not pull this one out if Azaray Stevens didn't bring the energy that she brought yesterday. And she really stepped up when they needed her most. So that was really Azaray has had some games this year where she's scored the ball really effectively, but then on the defensive side had slipped a little bit. But this was a complete game from her, and she really bounced back after that first quarter, which again, Sylvia Fowles was just a beast. I really thought it was just going to be one of those days where she's named Defensive Player of the Year and then just falls out and puts the Lynx in the semifinals. It wasn't like that. This is just a different Sky team than what we have been accustomed to seeing. But Chris, on Minnesota's end, what stuck out to you the most for why they weren't able to execute in this one? You mentioned the turnovers, and I think that has to be a big part of this as well, where they just turned the ball over in times when they needed to, like they would get a stop and then they would turn the ball over. They didn't execute on that end, but was there anything else that stuck out to you for why Minnesota wasn't able to, like for why Minnesota was just upset yesterday?
The Sky were some dogs on them, man. They were in their shirts. Defensively, they were incredibly aggressive on catches. They were jumping around defenders that, you know, when you're on some, when the defender has position and they're trying to just catch a pass near the above the key, right? Trying to move the ball to another side, and the defender knows the ball's coming. But usually I think what you see in those instances, say maybe 7 times out of 10, if the defender tries to jump that route, if the defender tries to jump that pass, you have to go around your mark. And a lot of times refs will call that a foul, just saying that you pulled on their, you know, pulled on their jersey to get position. But the Sky were able to do that without getting fouls called. And they did it a lot, not just on Diamond's side. Courtney Vandersloot jumped a couple of routes. Mm-hmm. Azaray Stevens got out in passing lanes. Kalia Copper got out in passing lanes. There was a concerted effort to disrupt Minnesota's offense before it could get into any kind of a flow. Typically what teams do with the Sky, what you'll see, is that they'll make the ball handler pick up their dribble before they get to the top of the key, which is really where the Sky, you know, they're not a great half-court team, but if they can get things moving, they function well. Any team functions well if they can start their offense below the key or lower. So they'll make the ball handler pick up their dribble out by the hash mark, mm-hmm. and then everybody has to come out for passes, and you can jump those lanes really easily. The Sky were doing that, but they were taking it to a level where they weren't allowing even the second pass. They were not allowing the ball to swing to the other side of the court. Courtney Vandersloot got that late steal off an inbounds pass. All 5'8" of Courtney Vandersloot jumped and tipped the ball away and then took it down to the other end and finished over Sylvia Fowles. And Minnesota was not giving up the game at that point, but that's what I mean about that tug of war. The Sky were just, they had fingernails in that rope. Everybody was bleeding. Their hands were on that hemp rope, and everybody was just squeezing and bleeding, and they were pulling harder. So defensively, they said, we are not going to allow Minnesota to get the ball into positions where they can put it to the post. You're going to lose against Sylvia Fowles if she gets to the low block. A lot of times you're going to lose if the Fisa Collier gets to the high block. So the Sky, I think, were like, we're going to stop you from getting to that point or to even the pass before you put the ball in the post. And Azaray Stevens was a big part of that. I want to go back to her, as you mentioned. I said that she looked uncomfortable against Dallas. There were a lot of times on offense where Dallas was pushing her out of her spot or knocking the ball away, and she looked a bit frazzled. And we didn't think that she was going to start, right? We didn't think she was going to get the start against Sylvia Fowles, but she did.
Yeah, we thought that it might be, and again, this is why James Wade's the coach and we're not. There's a lot of reasons for that, by the way. But I thought that Steph Dolson might potentially start in this one, just given how physical she is and how she can really be disruptive. And even looking back at the second game, the first game against the Lynx earlier on in the season, Stephanie Dolson, she didn't do that well against Sylvia Fowles, but again, I don't think there's anyone in this league that can truly stop her necessarily, unless you're throwing like three or four defenders on her, which we saw at times yesterday.
Oh yeah, they did. They had to. And of course they did.
Exactly. And they made Minnesota secondary players step up, or they were like, we're not going to let Sylvia Fowles beat us, essentially. And I didn't love how Minnesota used aerial powers necessarily. She scored 24 points. Yeah, I mean, she scored 24 points, but it was on 21 shots. And with Laysha Clarendon limited, they kind of asked aerial powers to handle the ball a little bit more. And if you ask her to be DeWanna Bonner, that isn't maximizing her skill set necessarily. She is a pure scorer, and I know that is such a vague phrase, but she really is. She's someone that you want to have your point guard find her open opportunities. And this is why Laysha Clarendon being limited in this one was really huge for the Lynx. If they played 30 minutes in this one, I think Chicago still pulls this one out, just because of what Chicago was able to do defensively and being able to, again, stop Sylvia Fowles in the paint in the second half of the game. But what Laysha was able to do against Courtney Vandersloot on defense before they had to take a seat, obviously, because again, that they weren't at 100% health. I do think that Courtney would have been disrupted a little bit more if they didn't have to rely on Crystal Dangerfield as much. And, you know, Laysha provides a steadiness to that Minnesota offense that Dangerfield just doesn't quite have just yet. And that was a game that I think R.E.A. Schwartz said it best. That was a game where you wanted to see someone like Crystal Dangerfield step up when you knew that your teammate was ailing a little bit. And, you know, the rest is kind of history. The Sky let the Lynx beat them from beyond the arc, and the Sky are now going to the semifinals.
Well, I can't speak enough about our Esri Stevens, because Candace Parker went to her at the final buzzer when everybody came on the court and celebrated. Candace Parker went to Z and was pointing at her like, you did that. And she grabbed her in a bear hug. And that stood out to me. That said it all. There was a couple of plays early on where Sylvia got in the paint, and either Z was trapped on her hip, because it's Sylvia. She's a post player. She knows exactly what to do every single time. And even on good defensive spots, she got to her baby hook shot. She got to the layup slot, the launch pad on the low block, or she would just go up and get fouled because the Sky had to double and triple. But in the second half, what you didn't see was what you saw in the first half, was Sylvia Fowles flying everywhere to get the ball. In the second half, that was Azaree Stevens. Mm-hmm. She was going up after misses. She was going after and getting loose balls. She was chasing down and giving the Sky extra possessions. And I don't know what Candace said. I didn't see anybody necessarily post about it in the post game. If you got any quotes from Candace about Azaree Stevens, that'd be excellent. But look at her line. She missed four threes. And that's not a spot you necessarily expect her to excel. But she was 4 of 9 overall, and she got to the free throw line 8 times. It's the most on the team. Diamond was 6. Diamond was second with 6, which means that Azaree Stevens was getting to that low block and trying to get shots up. And the Minnesota Lynx were having trouble stopping her. That is exactly what, I didn't say it exactly, but that's what they needed. You're right. That's exactly what this Tide team needed. They needed that presence. And that's 15 points. Sylvia Fowles came through with 17 points. So they pretty much canceled each other out. A performance like that puts them over the top.
Let's look ahead to Connecticut. The Sky play the Sun in the semifinals, which will start the day that this is released. So I just got to hear I'm just curious where you're at right now with this team. How do you feel about Chicago's chances heading into this one as a series, by the way?
Well, like those dudes who were walking out of Wintrust the day of the game that I went to. Sky have a puncher's chance as long as Candace Parker is healthy. And she hasn't had, you know, the Candace Parker games that we've come to expect in her going to be a Hall of Fame career. But she's been steady. Even when the shots haven't been going down, she's been fairly steady. And the rest of the team has picked up. Courtney Vandersloot yesterday had a great game. And Allie Quigley made enough shots to be efficient. And then Ka and Diamond did what we expect, what we always expect Ka and Diamond to do, even in the worst of times. The tough part is going to be against a really, really good defensive Connecticut team. The Sky have to try and hold them down in some way. And that's going to be a game where they're going to have to find their shots and make them. There's going to be a lot of last second or say trying to get a basket with the shot clock under 8 seconds, I think. Because that's just how good of a defensive team Connecticut is. They had Jonquil Jones on the first team. They had Breon January on the first team. They had, I think Breonna Jones was all defensive second team, or if she wasn't, then it was either Steven Trinkwald said that she should have been on, or somebody else should have gone in her place. But I'm fairly sure that they had three players make all defense 2021. And you have Jasmine Jones, who I'm pretty sure was all defense too, so I might have left one person out.
Jasmine Thomas.
Thank you, Jasmine Thomas. It's going to be hard for the Sky to get into their rotation, into their offensive sets, because Connecticut is a team that tries to isolate Courtney Vandersloot early and far from the basket. So you might see some more of Candace Parker bringing the ball up. You might see some more of Kalia Copper even bringing the ball up. It's going to be interesting again how Dana Evans handles things. She's turning into a very good pro already, but it's going to be difficult for the Sky to get into their offensive flow. That's why I think they're going to have to try and maximize their defensive output in a similar fashion to what they did against Minnesota. If they can force turnovers, they can get easy baskets in transition. That's where the Sky will always, always be better than almost any other team, is turning the ball over and getting out for high percentage shots.
And the Sun struggled turning the ball over this year, so that might be one thing to look out for heading into this series. But Chris, I usually come to the mic with a bunch of stats anytime we do the show.
True.
And for once, I'm just going to take a step back, because obviously the Sky are going to be facing an uphill battle for all the reasons that you just named. They're going up against an all-time defense and the league MVP, Jonquil Jones. I think that's pretty settled at this point.
And Jonquil Jones didn't play any of those three regular season matchups. So as much as anybody who's mentioning those, just throw that out the window. Can't mention those.
But at the same time, there is something happening in Chicago right now, right? Like the energy around this team is just so much different than where it was in the second half of the year. And I'm not going to predict they're going to win this series. I think that would be pushing it. Let's not forget, just because we've had two rounds of playoffs, who the Connecticut Sun are, right? That is a team that is incredibly deep. And now Alyssa Thomas has had some time to rest, and maybe she's able to give it a go coming off of the bench. At the same time, I don't think this is as hopeless as I thought it was at the beginning of the playoffs. This team was doubted by everyone, including us, and now they are playing like a team that has something to prove. And again, that's just something that we can't say about the regular season. This team feels like they woke up. They really just woke up now that the stage has been set for them. And defensively, honestly, that's what it's going to come down to me, is that this defense is going to play like it has the last two games compared to what it did since after the Olympic break, where they gave up the most points per game to opponents during that stretch. So something's happening here. I think the biggest key to me, actually, I know this is going to sound lame because she's a big name, but how Allie Quigley is going to produce during the series is going to be super important. When you look at those two, like the last two matchups against the Sun, the thing that they really honed in on was stopping Allie Quigley coming off the screen. They really denied her the ball. They had two people coming off as she was peeling around the corner of the screen, and they denied her the ball. If the Sky's offense runs through her at times. And if they're able to stop Allie Quigley from getting clean looks coming off the screens, I think that's going to be really tough for the Sky to overcome. But at the same time, just looking at Kalia Copper, someone who brings so much energy, Diamond to Shields coming off of the bench, who, you know, we had someone quote tweet us saying that Diamond to Shields, all we said on the podcast in the last one that we did was that if Diamond to Shields gives the Sky 10 or 12 points coming off of the bench, that the Sky have a good chance in this one. And, you know,
it was the Regina George meme.
Yeah. It's the classic Regina George line of stop trying to make fetch happen. They crossed out fetch it, but stop trying to make Diamond to Shields happen. Well, she really brought it last game. And again, she was one of the differences in the Sky being able to move on to the semifinals. I do think that if they get that production from Diamond, they're able to get that production from Z. And Dana Evans struggled a little bit yesterday, but even if they get just be able to give Sloot a breather as well, I do think that this team, I think that it's, again, I'm not going to predict them to win this final, like this semifinals round, but I do think that it's not as hopeless as, again, I thought it was heading into the postseason.
No, I mean, two straight wins in the playoffs will turn anything around. I'm not crowing about how we're going to make the finals just yet, but I do have a lot more hope because this team has showed up in games where they needed to. It's always the question, right, about the teams who go into the playoffs having beaten everybody, all comers, and then maybe rested their starters, which I'm not saying this is Connecticut. I'm not, just because they got the double bye. But it's the question of the team that is going in and having extra time for rest versus the team that has had to play and play and play up until maybe almost the final day because they needed to. And this guy didn't necessarily have to do that in the regular season, but by virtue of the format, they have had to play two do or die games. And so they're in the flow of things. And now they're playing tonight, as we're recording this in the future, 2 days after having played another do or die game. So there might be a let off for them, but they've studied Connecticut. They've had a lot of time. They've seen ways where the Sun can be beaten. Go back to that Commissioner's Cup game. The Sun can be beaten, you know?
That was the last time that they lost, though.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, everybody was coming back from break at that point. So, but it's still something that you look at. Look and see how Seattle attacked them. Look and see how Seattle defended them. Where did they have success? The thing for me is that the Sky have not yet been able to capitalize on attacking the paint early in terms of opening things up for outside shots, which we've gone over ad nauseum. If you attack the paint early the way that they have been, if you can get free throws, or if you can get players in foul trouble, then when they do inevitably start doubling or closing down driving lanes, you can find open shooters to the outside and ostensibly have good shots from distance. The Sun are a different breed. They play the perimeter defense really well. But you would think that if the Sky can put their plan into action early, and we'll see how that goes with Jonquel Jones and Alyssa Thomas, if they can get shots in the paint and then open things up from outside later on, that is their recipe for success in this slightly different Sky offense that we have come to know. Otherwise, like I said, they're going to have to hold Connecticut down offensively and see if they can win maybe with 65 or 70 points.
It's going to be really important for them to do that. But Chris, we got to hop over to Kyle's show. And yeah, I mean, I'm glad that we got a chance to do this. Being there at Target Center yesterday, my God, it was just electrifying. They really do such a great job of making that atmosphere as alive as it was. So shout out to the Lynx for that. And shout out to the Sky for really taking care of business. We'll be back on, we might be back on Tuesday, Chris, after that first game. So let's see what happens. We'll talk about what our plans are for that. But before we let you all go, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us out and our numbers. So please do that if you have the chance. And if you want to contact us, you can always do so by emailing our mailbag, which is theskyhookmailbag@gmail.com. You can find all of our information about where you can find us on social media in the episode description. We're on Twitter and Instagram. You can also, I mean, if you go to our Twitter page, which is at Skyhookin, you'll be able to find me and Chris pretty quickly. But Chris, glad that we had a chance to do that. And we're going to be talking more Chicago Sky basketball in about 5 minutes. So I'll see you there.
Yeah, man. Always check out Running with War and Monday Night Means on War Media. Appreciate it. At Skytown, we'll see you above the clouds.